Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
Hi, I'm Katie Olivares.
And I'm Justin Olivares. We've been married 4 years. We actually met here at Life Church at a college career night. I moved here about 7-8 years ago, so I kind of grown up and matured through the church. And
I've been attending about 10 years now.
And we've done everything under the sun here. I've done the altar team ministry with my wife, attended some freedom classes. We've helped out in the youth together.
Yep, we went to Life School of the Bible together. We also have, I've served in Tots Life and Kids Life for a while.
And we ran our own cell group, The Good Life, for a good amount of time together. Yep. That's kind of how, you know, we really got to know each other better.
And now I'm on staff at the Rockford campus. I serve as a Tots Life leader over there.
We have a second family here at Life Church. It's just awesome to raise our daughter with that, and just friends that we never forget, and lifetime long friends.
And a lot of our old youth group kids are now serving in different parts of the ministry, so that's really cool to see.
We love Life Church, and we're so thankful for everything that it's been in our lives together.
And we both have a lot of family members that also attend, so that makes it really fun too.
Yeah, this is life-changing, and we're so thankful to have grown up in this awesome place.
Absolutely.
Grab your Bibles, if you would, please. Hold those up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's word today. Amen. I caught it this morning when we were saying that. It reminds me of the whole teaching we did a few months ago of above and below the line. Do you remember that? I choose to open myself up to the word of God. Isn't that great? Because above the line is open, curious, wondering. How many of you are open to what God has for you today? You're wondering, Lord, speak to me today, right? You don't want to be below the line. Below the line is closed. Below the line is, I already know everything. I need to be right. Below the line is defensive. How many of you want to be below the line today? Raise your hand. I want to be closed. I want to be defensive. Well, if you are in that place, pull yourself, make a decision to get open. Amen? So we can hear what the word has to say for us today. And that's what we say every week in our confession is, I choose, even if I came in closed, I choose to become open. Amen? All right, so I'm excited about today. All right, here we go. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. Not 1 John, just regular John. John, chapter 14, verse 12. This is where we're going to start. Jesus speaking, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do, and greater works than these will he do. I love that Jesus wants us to go forward and do greater things. That's awesome. Because I go to the Father, that's why we're going to do those things. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do so that my Father will be glorified in the Son. I love how Jesus is saying, when I go to my Father, you're going to start doing great things and greater things. And one of the reasons that is because one of the first things Jesus did when he got to heaven, when he ascended and was seated at the right hand of God, the Bible says that he became the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. He went to heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit into the earth, and the Holy Spirit is how we do greater things. Is that awesome? The Holy Spirit was put into our lives not to make you weird, but to make you able. Somebody say amen. Amen. Too many people leave it at making them weird. It was meant to make you able. Able to do everything Jesus has in his heart for you to be able to do. Everything Jesus paid for you to be able to do. It's the same Holy Spirit. Jesus did everything he did, and he gives you the same Spirit. I love that. That's why you can do what he did, and then he's like, go beyond. Do greater things. Can you tell I'm excited? I'm excited. Are you excited? If you're not excited, get excited. It's way more fun to get excited. I'm excited. All right, super pumped about greater things. And I love this because Jesus is already giving us, in that statement, he's giving us permission. Go do greater things. Too many churches are waiting for God to give them another word on it. He's already given us a word on it, amen? It's more of a decision to do greater things, not permission. We already have permission to do it, and we have the power to do it. Now we just have to decide to go after it, amen? That's what we're doing as a church over the next 2 years. We're saying we are deciding to not just live the same 2 years over again, but to do even more. And I love why it says it. The motivation there is so that my Father will receive glory. Do you realize the reason we want to do greater things is not to promote the name of Life Church? Over the next few years, you're going to see we're going to partner with some people, and we don't even brag on our church in the middle of it. We're just there to serve. We're there to serve to make our city better. We're there to serve to make this world a better place. Because it's really about the greater works, and we're going to partner with other missionaries, and their organizations are going to get their name promoted, you see? But it's about the kingdom of God growing. It's about the Father getting glory, not about Life Church getting famous. Can somebody say amen to that? Come on, man. I'm so pumped about this right now. It's so big in my spirit. If I could, I wish I could take a thing and take what I'm experiencing right now about where we're headed as a church and like get that in you somehow to do that. So some of the things we've been talking about, Pastor Ken did a great job last week talking about some of the greater works that we'll be doing here inside the house. We need to do some deferred maintenance things. We're excited to get ourselves up to a place of excellence, take care of people. We talked about orphanage in Thailand. Pastor Chad talked about a church and a Bible school in Africa. We're going to be doing some things with Phillips Methodist. We talked about that. But I want to just for briefly, before I get into the sermon, give you some greater things we want to do here in the community locally. So like I said, there's some strategic partnerships that we have. One of them is the Fatherhood Encouragement Project. That's one we've worked with in the past. We'll hopefully do that again the next 2 years. They have a lot of ministry to the inner city children of our area, do a lot of outreach there, do a lot of things to give them gifts and to help provide some good experiences for them, hopefully connect them to a local church as well. They do a lot to help train dads to be better dads. How many of you know our city could use that? Amen? Dads to be better dads. So that's a powerful ministry. I have a heart over the next 2 years to do a marriage conference in our city, not necessarily in a church. I really see this as being an outreach to both believing and non-believing family members' marriages. We're going to use the Word of God to teach them, but I would love to go into some sort of a neutral ground environment, some sort of a business marketplace environment, and begin to invite the community. And we have some great community leaders right now that are excited about us doing this, and they're going to help us promote this. Aren't you excited about that? So we're going to have people in that room that aren't church people. It's not Life Church Presents because we're trying to make Life Church famous. We're here to serve our city because stronger marriages in our city is going to make a better city. Amen? You're going to hear a lot that in our community, we're going to do quite a bit in Rockford over the next 2 years. I hope in the years to come, we'll do more in Beloit and Janesville, Belvedere, and all these other areas as we have the capacity to do that. But I would like us as a church to all remember that what happens in Rockford affects everybody. So if you don't live in Rockford, you can't sit there and say, well, I don't care about Rockford. Oh, yes, you do. Because Rockford's economy affects our other economies. Rockford's violent crime affects all of our other areas as well. Rockford school districts affects us all. Are you understanding this? And so we're going to sow into Rockford very heavily in the next couple of years. Some of the city leaders as well, I'd love to tell you about some of those relationships that God's been building. They've asked us to help them put on a men's conference for the city of Rockford. So I'm excited about that, to do something in that area. But that's going to take a lot of finance and take a lot of work. So we're excited over the next 2 years to maybe do something like that for the city. Another initiative, which is recent, it's in the heart of our mayor. He had a bunch of pastors come together and he talked about one of the biggest problems of Rockford is that of domestic violence. I don't even want to try to remember the statistics or the percentages. They were just really, really big, too high. Any number is too high, but really high in our city. Domestic violence affects everything in our city. Obviously the safety of our families, but the majority of our violent crime committed, the people that commit those violent crimes were raised in domestic violence homes. Most of our incarcerated prisoners were raised in domestic violence homes. A huge number of violent crimes that the police get called into are domestic violence calls that they get into. And a good chunk of where our police officers get injured is responding to a domestic violence call. A lot of our problems in our public schools with violence and bullying and all that, it roots back into what's going on in the homes of these kids living in a domestic violence home. So our mayor has a heart to create a center called the Center of Hope and Justice or something like that. Over the next 2 years, they're going to be building it. And they're asking for churches to partner with them, both with volunteers, which we have some of the best volunteers in the world in this church. Amen? Aren't you excited about that? To work with the children and to help with the families that come through there, but also with finance, because our city doesn't necessarily have all the money in the world, and they still need to build this center. And this center is going to be one of hopefully many centers that they'll build in the future, but they're using this one as a start. But right now, if you're a victim of domestic violence and you're trying to get out of that situation, it's a very challenging thing. You have to go to about 11 different offices in the city of Rockford to start getting the type of help that you need. And most of them don't even know where to start. And plus, they're coming with such anxiety and stress upon them in that moment where they're making that decision to make a change. It's like, how are they thinking even clearly to process that through and tell their story 11 different times and trying to get their kids with them and to try to do all kinds of things. And so what the center will do is it'll put it all in a one-stop shop place where people who are looking to make that new life and that breakaway, that they'll have help in one spot, and they'll be able to, the city will be able to get them what they need to transition. There'll be workers there. We'd like to be some of those workers there. But I really believe this is an area, and the mayor does as well, that if we can help young people, especially the children, start fresh and start new and bring them out of that domestic violence place, then their chances of not being abusers themselves goes way up. And so we want to give them a new hope and a new future. Do you understand why this is important to us to be a part of this? I really believe the church is the solution to the problems in this world. How many of you agree with me on that? Absolutely. And too many, for far too long, churches have created their own activity and say, look, we're going to do this, and we hope it's important to the city. But we've made a different approach. We've started to go to our city and say, what's important to this city, and how can we get involved in making that happen? And the city is there with open arms saying, yeah, we need your help. We need your help. So this is one of those areas that we need the extra resource to be able to partner with helping develop this program, as also volunteering. I'll give you more information as it comes out. I have a meeting set up for the beginning of December, but I'm adding this to my prayer points for our city. As our praying God, help the city of Rockford, we need to specifically be praying for this domestic violence situation as well. We may not see the fruit of it for 5-10 years, but if we begin to do this now and those kids are raised in new environments and those families have hope of maybe some peace as they're being developed and growing up, maybe our city will reap the benefit a few years from now. You got to have the long-term vision for this. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Are you excited to help with that play, with that area? I am. I want to do things that matter. Amen? And this is one of those areas that matters. This is one of the reasons why we've decided to go from a wait-and-see model of giving to a decide-and-do model of giving. Wait-and-see was what most churches and even we were a part of, where it's kind of like, we'll just wait and see what we feel like giving. We'll wait and see what's in our pockets when we get to church. We'll wait and see what our emotions feel like when we give. Rather than saying, no, we're going to decide to give regardless of how we feel that day. We have a specific goal of our giving, a specific amount, that whether it's a good day, good week, bad week, up, down, wherever I feel, I'm still going to do what I committed to do because we are committed to doing some greater things. It's a deciding and doing kind of approach. And so that's what we've been talking about over the last few weeks. And the reason is this, and I love that we always bring the Holy Spirit into the conversation, because I believe Spirit-filled people are people that just cannot sit around and watch the world go to hell. We cannot just sit around and just live the same life. This is not Groundhog's Day, people. Amen. We can create by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's a creative spirit. Amen. When he sees darkness, he brings in light. When there's trouble, he brings in answers and solutions. And Spirit-filled people just can't sit around and watch the world fall apart. We have to act. That's why the book of Acts is so big. And I love that's that Holy Spirit book. Isn't that awesome? Because when the Holy Spirit came upon the believer, they had to act. They didn't just sit there and believe. They didn't just sit there and a hope and a pray. It caused action. Amen. And that's where I believe this just stirring is in our spirit. I love this quote. It came into my life a few years ago, and I'll share it with you. Write it down. By the way, how many of you have your notebooks ready to take notes? Come on now. Write this down. History is written by those who took action, not by those with good intentions. History was written by those who took action, not by those with good intentions. I don't want to be a church that sits in Roscoe year after year hoping that our cities get better. We want to take action. How many of you want to write some history? Amen? That's why I signed up for this thing. And I love it because Spirit-filled people have a tendency to think bigger than themselves, because that anointing is not just in you for you, it's through you to break yokes and to destroy bondages. Amen? Woo! All right, before church next week, y'all need to come to my house and have coffee. Because my coffee works way better than your coffee's working right now. You're all on unleaded, man. I'm like full premium, baby. Woo! All right. Let's talk about the message today. Would you agree it's the church's role to equip you? Yes, amen? Church's role to equip you. All right. Would you agree it's the church's role to equip you to win and defeat the enemy in all areas of your life? Absolutely, right? Would you agree it's the church's role and responsibility to equip you to worship on the greatest of levels? Absolutely. Would you agree it is the church's role and job to equip you to fulfill great purposes in your life? Then you just agreed it's the church's role to teach about money and giving. Come on now. Amen. How many of you are excited about that? Raise your hand. Come on now. I love this. I love our culture in this house. Actually, it was so funny. Last night after I taught about giving and about offerings, I had some individuals come up to me and say, Pastor, I've been praying that you would teach on tithing to our people. And I was like, I love this church. You know what I love about it is sometimes in churches, only the business leadership of a church are like, you need to teach on giving. But our people want us to teach on giving. And here's why. Because they know what it's done for them and they want their brothers and sisters in Christ to experience the same thing. Is that true? And so they have a burden and a passion for their neighbors and their friends who don't understand giving, who still see it like a negative thing. And they're like, Pastor, would you help them understand? Because everything I just listed, if you want to learn how to defeat the devil, do you understand your giving is a weapon? Somebody say amen if that's true. Your giving is a weapon. And you may have all these weapons over here, but if you're not using your giving effectively, there is a huge nuclear weapon you can use against the devil if you use your giving properly. Your giving is part of worship. And you could say, well, I sing songs and that's worship. Do you understand? Throughout the Bible, throughout the Old Testament especially, people, when they came to church, one of the main reasons they came to gather at the temple was to bring their offering. Their offering was their worship. In modern day Christianity, our worship is our words and our song. But throughout the Bible, it was the gift in their hand and they accompanied that gift with their worship and song. Are you understanding this? And so I'm just bringing us back to the Bible where we are historically of how to worship God effectively and also helping you fulfill purpose in your life. I can encourage you to, you know, go make a difference, but you know what? Our finances pooled together. We just talked about something here in the community that goes and creates great eternal change and purpose. It shifts us from hoping some things to actually creating some change in things and purpose in our lives. Isn't that awesome? So now, are you excited about today? Come on, celebrate. Awesome, awesome. Some of you are like, I'm not going to celebrate because I'm holding out for that coffee you promised me. If you still want the coffee later, I'll give it to you later. I'll tell you what the secret is. It's actually a Cuban espresso. That's what I use in the mornings. It's got to be Cuban or it's not worth drinking, let me tell you. And that's hard for an Italian to say. Anyways, let's get back into the scripture. Get back into the scripture, Pastor Kevin. You're getting off into carnality and fleshiness. I know, but it's so good. All right, are you ready? Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. Yeah, look at you, you're so excited, you cheered twice. Good for you. Malachi, chapter 3. If you're Italian, it's the book of Malachi, all right? That's how we're going to say that. Malachi, chapter 3. Let's talk about some giving today. Let's get excited and get some focus and direction, because the only reason you're miserable when we talk about giving is because you don't understand it. That's the only reason you feel that way. And so let me bring you some clarity and help you see kind of some things from a different perspective. Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Now, the word tithe, if you're taking notes, represents 10%. It means 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Underline that in your Bible. It's one of the purposes there. So that there may be food in my house. Test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you. I love that. God is doing something in response to your faith, opening up the windows of heaven and pouring out a blessing until it overflows. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. I love that line that says, so there may be food in my house. Reminds me of my mom. We're coming up on Thanksgiving here. And if you've never had an Italian Thanksgiving, you've never really had Thanksgiving. Let me just say that. My mom was, that was always her biggest concern. Is it enough? Is there enough food in the house? It's just her, one of her things. Our Thanksgiving, opposed to some people's Thanksgiving, most of you have a turkey for Thanksgiving. We would have multiple turkeys for Thanksgiving, different types of turkey, because you can't just have one, you know what I'm saying? And then not only would we have two turkeys, we'd have probably a whole ham on the other side of the table. And in the center of the table, there would be a lasagna. Not just any lasagna, a lasagna that had 9 pounds of cheese in it. One that you need a healing afterwards, okay? I don't even know how you get 9 pounds of cheese into anything. And then there'd be a basket of overflowing breads and carbohydrates. And there would be a bowl of salad, not a little bowl of salad. I'm talking a big bowl of salad. And then there'd be green bean casserole. And someone would say, well, that's our veggie. No, no, no. The green bean casserole had to be like this big of a plate. And then we can't just have green bean casserole. You got to have broccoli casserole. And those are our vegetables. But mom, those aren't the vegetables you're supposed to be eating because they're full of cream and they're full of cheese and they're full of butter. But oh, are they so good. But we've got our protein and our veggie here. And then you don't just have one pie. Oh no, you don't just have pumpkin pie. You have pumpkin pie, about 3 of them. And you have pecan pie, about 2 of them, because we got to keep the ratio right. And then at least 2 French silk pies for the chocolate lovers on the side. And then just for good measure, an apple pie or 2, maybe a cherry pie. You say, Pastor Kevin, you're probably feeding, what, 20, 30 people? No, we're feeding 7 people, okay? About 7, maybe 8. Now, if you count Father, Son, Holy Spirit and some angelic protection, maybe then. But it was that consistent idea of, I hope it's enough. Food in the house, food in the house. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. In Malachi, in order for us to do greater things, one of the reasons I want to talk to you about tithing is because we have to consistently do what we're already doing. You're already, so many of you are already so generously giving your tithes and your offerings. And we have to have faith. I want you to have expectation and faith in doing what you're already doing. And then we're asking you to stretch to do some greater things. And so right now I'm focusing on what you're already doing and helping you remember why you're already doing what you're doing and maybe even take advantage of some promises that you forgot about, that you have been a covenant partner in finances with God, and there are some promises that you can be standing on because they belong to you. And if the devil's trying to steal some stuff from you, you have covenant right to say, step off. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So I want to encourage you and solidify those of you that are already giving, and maybe give some information to some of you that are still questioning and you're open, because we already talked about being open to the idea, you just need some more information. So I want to help you with that. So in Malachi chapter 3, talking about, so that there would be food in my house. That was the key line the Lord wanted me to bring to this today, was that there may be food in my house. I think that's interesting because God doesn't say he puts food in the house. Now the food turns into resource to help people. Is that correct? The food in the house means resource to help people. And the more people you want to help, the more food has to come into the house. Are you understanding? If you put the same amount of food, but you double the amount of people, you run out of food. And so we have to know if God's calling us to reach more people, we need more food in the house. Is this making sense? That there may be food in my house. Now it's interesting that God doesn't say he's going to put food in the house. He wants human beings to take responsibility, take their belief, take their faith, and say, we will put food in the house of God so there's resource in there for the house to do what it needs to do. And then what does God do? God takes his anointing and he blesses what you put in and he multiplies it and he feeds everybody. Isn't that awesome? So God gets involved, but he waits on us to start the process. He waits for your faith to be expressed, to put your food, to put food in the house. So this is the way it works. How many of you go grocery shopping once a week? Anybody? Raise your hand. How many of you go grocery shopping every other week? How many of you are like, Pastor Kevin, I have to go grocery shopping every day. Anybody grocery shopping every day? Okay, some of you didn't raise your hand at all. Do you eat ever? Are you just afraid that if you raise your hand, I'm going to hand you a tithe envelope? Is that what this is? Listen, this is something I discovered, that we have to go grocery shopping pretty consistently because we have 4 kids and children eat food. Now, how many of your children, when they eat food, turn around and replenish the cabinets? Anybody? My kids don't. My kids are more like locusts. And they make their way through the house, eating everything in sight, leaving empty boxes and wrappers and a puff of smoke where food used to be. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. And so what I find, it's the parent or the mature in the house that realize we need to keep putting food in the house till the kids get old enough to understand how they are contributors as well. And that doesn't make me necessarily offended at my kids. It means I know what I need to do. I take that responsibility. But yes, we do want to encourage our children one day to be contributors. Is this making sense? But the house, if we don't put food in the house will run out of food. And so the mature in the house sit there and say, we need to continue to put the food in the house as this thing grows. And as the kids begin to get older, and the cool part is mom and dad also eat from the same food they put in the house. And so we're both getting nourished. Our kids are getting nourished. The newbies in Jesus are getting nourished. And we, the mature, that have been around a while, we're getting nourished. And God's taking care of all of those things. But we are the ones that God is saying, put food in the house. Put that there may be food in my house. So today I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about why Maria and I tithe. Why do we give our 10%? Why do we do that? Now, you may be a tither, you may not be a tither, and I'm not here to tell you what you should do. I'm here to enlighten you what the scripture says, and I can tell you what Maria and I do and why we do it. Because there really is a why behind the what. Because I never believe God wants us to do things mechanically, robotically, or out of vain tradition. There's reason behind everything God asks us to do. Is that true or not? And so all I can do is share with you why we made the decision that we make and why we've operated it in our whole lives and why we train our children to be givers and tithers. So reason number one, we believe that some things are ours and some things are not. They belong to the Lord. That's our personal opinion on that. We believe that's what the scripture declares. We believe that of that 100% that comes in, 90% belongs to us and 10% is wholly to the Lord. We train that to our kids. That was trained into us as children. I would have birthday money come in. 10% is the Lord's, which means it's not a decision whether or not I give that to the Lord. It doesn't belong to me. See, there's a difference. If you think it's all yours, you think you're sharing 10% with God. If you think 90% is yours and 10% is God, you'll never touch what belongs to him. So it's a philosophy thing. I don't go over to my father-in-law's house and take his car. It's his car. You see what I'm saying? Thank you, Doug. Because it's not mine. There's not even a question there. And so when you see something as yours, you begin to kind of take some of it. But if you don't see it as yours, you say, that's the Lord's. You'll never touch it. That's holy to the Lord's. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 says it like this. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are you robbing? How are we robbing you? And God responds, in your tithes and in your offerings. God has a specific expectation that a portion of what comes in your hand, he believes a portion of that belongs to him as an act of worship, as an act of faith. And that's our belief that that's how that works out. Now, let me say this, and we'll talk about it later in spiritual principle. We believe, Marie and I believe, that God will take that 90% and make it far outlast whatever that 100% would have been. That somehow 90% equals like 150%. When I give the 90%, and when I do the 10% right and I give the Lord what's due him. That's our belief system on that. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It's holy to the Lord. It's his. It's not mine. It's not a matter of discussion. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 17 says it like this. Each of you must give a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. It goes back to what I was saying earlier. It was expected that when you came to the house of the Lord, when you came to worship God, that you gave a gift in proportion to how God has blessed you. It's the way things are done. It's a way we honor God. It's part of why we have gathered to bring something in proportion to the way God has blessed us. Let me capture it in this sentence. Write it in your notes. We want to give God what is right, not what is left. Someone needs to make a coffee mug out of that and have Cuban coffee in it. Okay. We want to give God what is right, not what is left. You know, even in the Garden of Eden, before there was ever a law, before there was ever commandments and all these different things, which people try to argue, all that stuff, God has always put a portion of something that says, this is mine, don't touch it. Even in the Garden of Eden, they had 90% of the garden. They had all this garden, and God said, this one tree is mine, don't touch it. And Adam and Eve fixated on the one thing that God said, don't touch. Like, we cannot be happy unless we have that tree. We cannot be happy unless we have the full 100%. Do you see what I'm saying? Why would God do that? Because in that tension, in that moment, God was saying that I'm going to give you something that's going to allow you to express faith, allow you to express honor, allow you to obey something. It wasn't without the choice, there'd be no obedience. There would be no expression of faith involved anywhere. So this tangible expression to say, we reserve that for God. We will obey God in that area. It gave them opportunity because there was a choice to not do it. Does that make sense? And there's these things in our lives, these opportunities in our lives where selfishness and things come in, and that tithe creates a choice to fight against selfishness or to fight against fear by saying, though my fear would want to take God's, I won't take God's. I will use what God told me to use. And God uses that faith to fight that selfishness or that fear and bring you the result and the promise that you're believing for. Did that make sense what I just said? It made sense to me coming out, but maybe you're not hearing as fast as I'm saying it. Number two reasons. So number one is some things are God's, some things belong to us. He gives them to us to belong to us. Number two, it's a physical expression of our love. That's another reason why Marie and I give. A physical expression of our love. Just like gifts that you would give to your children and to your spouse. I don't know about you, but there's times that, I feel so many emotions for my spouse and my kids, so much love in my heart for them. Appreciation. There's times I like, I love you. I think you're amazing. I love you. You know, it's just you say it and you feel it. But sometimes those inner feelings, those inner emotions, they have to be expressed, and they get expressed in a physical manifestation of a material thing called a birthday present or a Christmas present or a Valentine's Day present or just an I love you present. You know what I'm saying? And it's all these emotions. It's so normal for human beings to want to take what they feel inside and to express it in a physical expression of how they feel. You do it all the time. Grandparents do it all the time to their grandkids. And they're buying them stuff that they never would have bought us as kids. You know what I'm saying? And they're letting them eat stuff that they never would have let us eat as a kid. But a grandparent's love, it goes from emotion to tangible expression. Are you understanding this? It's so natural. But the same thing's true with God. You have these feelings. That's why it's part of our worship. You feel love for God. I feel appreciation for God. Why wouldn't I give him 10%? Or why wouldn't I give him the fullness of his due? Because it's a physical expression of honor, physical expression of enthusiasm and love and respect, and my faith is in him. It's a way for me to not just say, God, I have faith. It's a faith expressed by a work. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Some people say, I have faith, and so then a physical expression moment comes to express that faith, and we're afraid to express that faith. But in that moment, I have a tangible way to not only say I have faith, but to express my faith, to express my love, to invest in that stuff. Isn't that cool? I'm super pumped about that. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 through 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth. See, it's a way that we express honor. It's a way that we show what's inside of our heart. I want to honor God. And we honor him with our holiness, and we honor him with our obedience. We also honor him with our physical expressions of those things. Wealth, 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 wealth. People get weirded with the word money in church. Wealth, 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 wealth. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Now, some people are comfortable honoring the Lord with their words and honoring the Lord with their personal gifts and talents. But the Bible is also using the physical word wealth. Not just your words. Not just your service, but your actual resource. Then, the Bible says, your barns will be filled to overflowing. What a lot of people want to do is they want to wait for the barn to be filled overflowing, and then they'll give the leftovers to God in an act of worship. God's saying, honor me first and watch what I do with the barns. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Number three. So the first one, some things are ours, some things are God's. Number two, it's a physical expression of how we feel and honor the Lord and express that. Number three, our lives, we believe this, and I believe many others in this room believe it, which is why they prayed this message into your life, by the way. Don't blame me, blame your friends. They prayed it into your life. We believe that we operate in supernatural principles in this world. That you have one foot in physical reality, one foot in spiritual reality, and God uses our gifts to bring his promises to pass in our physical realm. God wants to put his supernatural blessing on physical things in our lives, and sowing and reaping and the acts of giving and generosity and the faith that's expressed in that is one of the triggers, one of the connectors between the promises of God in the spirit to bring it to pass in the natural. It's the expression of your faith in action that God then, boom, comes forth with his supernatural promise. We are spiritual beings. That's why these things in the natural, they don't always make sense. How does 90% equal more than 100%? In the natural, it doesn't make sense. But we're not natural beings alone. We're spiritual beings. We're supernatural beings. And one of the ways we connect into the supernatural is to express these things of faith, these seeds in the natural. And God uses it saying, look, what they did in the natural, that gives me access and permission to bring the spiritual and put it into their life and to bring the promise into their life. So these are one of those supernatural principles of giving. That's why even when people are struggling in their finances, it's really hard to not talk about giving, because it's such a supernatural breakthrough. Sometimes people are like, only talk to the people with money about money. That makes no sense, because you're judging them on the outward appearance and you're saying they can't afford to give anything. God isn't asking you to give what you don't have. He's saying take what's in your hand, even if it's a dollar, and take 10 cents and start there. And that start changing the trajectory of their poverty. You see what I'm saying? We're like, don't talk to the poor about money. No, they need it. If you believe what the scripture says, then we are doing them a dishonor, a disservice by saying, Jesus loves you, I'll pray for you, but I'm not going to talk to you about your giving. Because in their fear of loss, they're not engaging in spiritual reality and spiritual principle that will unlock the anointing of God to break the yoke. It's the anointing of God on their life that's going to break the yoke of that stuff. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Remember this, which means it's something that you easily forget, by the way. Remember this. He who sows sparingly and grudgingly will reap sparingly and grudgingly. He who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone, will also reap generously and with blessing. This is the Amplified Bible, and I love that portion, because when we're talking about greater works and we're talking about your tithe, we're giving not only to see blessing in our life, but we just said we want to give so that we can solve problems in our city. We want to put food in the house so that young people, even not even my own kids, although they'll get blessed, but the kids of others would get blessed with the word. We want to put money in the house and put food in the house so that missionaries can travel around the world. There's something in us that has this love and this belief that when we participate with our offerings, that we're making other people's lives better, because Christianity, we realize that it's not all about us. And we're willing to take something that God's given us and share it with people that don't have it. I love it. I love Jesus and I love real Christianity, man. It's awesome. Let each one give as he's made up in his own mind and purpose in his heart. I love that verse, because to me, that tells me decide and do. Isn't that cool? Not just whatever you feel, but purpose in your heart. Make a decision. Decide and do. Amen. Give as he's made up his mind, purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. It's so weird to me. Even in the New Testament, right? It's 2,000 years ago. Paul is addressing people who think giving, who see giving as something that they do reluctantly or sorrowfully. There are people who are in their giving, they're giving sorrowfully. I don't understand that. Like the offering to them is like a funeral service. Are you ready to take the offering? It's like you're getting ready to say goodbye to a friend. Goodbye, George Washington. It's not even Benjamin Franklin. Goodbye, George Washington. I'm so sorry that I'm giving you. All that tells me, if you're sorrowful when it's giving, it just means you don't get it. That's it. That's all that is. And that's just spiritual growth stuff. You can see, you can hear people in the room right now, and they're like, yeah. They're not crazy. They just get it. You see what I'm saying? They've seen the joy in giving, the joy in creating a world that's better than the world there was, because they know their money turns into something powerful. The joy of seeing God do a miracle with their life, they get it. If the offering to you is fearful or sorrowful, which blows my mind, it just means you don't get it yet. And so that's okay. We're putting food in the house while you grow. That's okay. And maybe you'll catch up with that stuff. But I love that stuff. I love it. I love it. Love it. God loves, takes pleasure in, prizes above all other things, is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous prompt to do it, whose heart is in his giving. Do you know that when you give an offering, it's really important the emotion that you give it in, the thought process, the feelings that you give it in? Imagine giving your wife or your spouse a gift and you're giving it to them sorrowfully, with tears, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. Honey, I give this to you. And they're like, oh, you just love me so much you're crying. You're like, no, I hated spending the money. Enjoy your gift. Doesn't that steal the gift? Tithing, giving, you have to give it correctly and to worship correctly, you have to engage your emotion and your mind into what you're doing. It's called tithing the tithe. It's called doing it with faith in it. That's why when we say, are you ready to give, the culture of this house is to celebrate that. Because we teach others, this is about to do something amazing. There is something of anticipation in the offering moment. And God says, I love a cheerful, joyous heart in giving giver, because the reason they're joyous is because they understand what their gifts are about to do. It's about to change someone else's life, and it's about to change their life. So why would they mourn? They should celebrate. Amen? And then God is able. God is able to make all grace, every earthly favor and blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always have under all circumstances whatever need and be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Somebody say amen. Last thought. One of the reasons we give, another reason, last one, it builds God's house. Ever since I was a little kid, I've loved giving to the house of God. I do. I remember the first time I made my first extra pledge beyond my tithe. I think I was in seventh grade, and I pledged to raise $100 to support Bibles to Missions. And I was so excited to raise $100. Throughout our life, we've had multiple pledges in our lives. I remember when Marie and I first got married, we took $1,000 of our wedding money, which most couples needed all, and we were no different. We took $1,000 of our wedding money, and we gave it in an offering, because we knew we wanted to sow a seed as we're starting our new marriage. See what I'm saying? And we've taught our kids to do this stuff, and we consistently do this stuff because we see we get to build God's house. It's not just about the blessing that we receive. We also get to partner with ministries that are going around the world to do stuff. We get to build God's house. Haggai chapter 1, verses 3 through 9 says it like this. The Lord sent this message to the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much, but you've harvested so little. You eat, but you are not satisfied. You drink, but you are still thirsty. You put on clothes, and you cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look what's happening to you. Now go up into the hills and bring down timber and rebuild my house. Build my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and I will be honored, says the Lord. You hope for rich harvests, but they were poor harvests. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord of Heaven's army, while all of you are busy building your own fine houses. So God is telling this to them, because he wants them to be able to get blessing and receive blessing and keep blessing. And what happens is every time blessing comes into their lives, it goes through their pockets like pockets with holes in it. And it doesn't seem to ever be enough. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands of who feels like your life is that way sometimes. But what God is saying here is this. There's a promise in here that says if I put God's house and I put God's mission and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things are added unto me. Which also tells me, if you say, Pastor, I've been faithful with my giving, and I've been that, and I still feel like I have some holes in my pockets. Well, praise God, you have a promise to stand on then. Don't just let the holes stay there. You see what I'm saying? Then you take the word, and you declare the promise. And you have reason to declare the promise and say, according to the word of God, I have put God's principles and God's house first. Therefore, my seed will not fall through my pockets. My harvest does not fall short. I have more than enough. And you allow that faith to rise. Amen. You begin to declare the promise of God, because the devil's still going to test you. The devil's still going to try to see if he can steal from you. That still happens. But you have the authority and the scriptural standing to push him back and tell him, get out of your life and out of your house. But what God is saying here is very clear. He's saying, look, take care of my business, because I want to sew up those pockets. There's something in your life when it's out of order. That's why we have to talk about this stuff, because I could talk to you about God wants to bless you. God wants to bring good things into your life. But if there's things that are out of order, they don't work. And so if you're always building your life and your kingdom and you don't focus on building the house of God and his kingdom, that's one of the misses in our lives that we're literally losing blessing through our hands that God is not intending us to lose. It's just there's a miss because we haven't gotten ourselves into alignment in this area of giving. Does that make sense? Absolutely. Proverbs chapter 11, 24 says like this, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy, lose everything. Pastor Brock, you can come. I'm ready to close. One last thought. I'm going to shift gears for a moment, but I really felt I had a prophetic word for you as a person, individually. We've been talking corporately about giving and tithing, but the Lord wanted me to use that tithing illustration for you personally, because you have greater things that God's called you to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says this, do you not know that you yourselves are the temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? And so what the Lord wanted me to tell you today, that you as well are the temple of God. You are God's house. And in the same way that we have to put food back into the house of God to make sure there's resource to take care of all the needs, I felt the Spirit of the Lord tell me to remind you to make sure you're putting food back into yourself to make sure you're able to take care of all the vision and the greater things that God has for you to do. Here's the idea. If all week long, you're giving out, and you're not intentionally deciding of putting things back into the pantry of your own self and your own life, you as well will not be able to do greater works. Same thing with the church. If this church, with the big heart that it has, just gives out to the city of Rockford and Beloit and everything, but if we're not putting food back in, how many of you know we're not going to be able to sustain that? Are you understanding? Come on, it's okay to say yes. But you're a temple of God too. And just like you prioritize your giving to make sure there's food in the main house, this house, I just felt the Spirit of the Lord say, Kevin, tell them they need to make sure they're putting food back into their house. There's a portion, there's a tithe of time, there's a tithe of things that they have to put back into their own personal growth and development, or they're gonna run out and burn out and they won't have the resource to do the call of God that's on their life either. So use that illustration both for this big house, but also for you. So let me give you some examples of putting food back in your house. When you take time to have a Sabbath and you take time, you take that tithe, that one day a week, and you give it to God and say, God, I'm coming to your house to worship. I'm coming to your house to learn and to grow. I'm coming into your house to rest. You're putting food in your spiritual house. You're putting food in the house. And if you go week after week after week after week and you don't go put food back in that house, you're going to run out. Is this making sense? One of the ways is for you to take that tithe of your week and invest it into your spiritual growth and development, your food. You take the Sabbath, it's putting food in your house. You, during your normal work week, reading your Bible maybe 3 or 5 times a week, that's putting food in your house to make sure as you're giving out and giving out and giving out that you're also being sustained on the inside so that you can continue to do the greater things God's called you to do. Being with other life-giving relationships, maybe in a small group, maybe in some people that you know in a Bible study somewhere or something, some life-giving, faith-giving relationships. It's not okay to just work and not go get away with some people that are refreshing to laugh with and to enjoy. That's putting food in your house to keep you going over the long haul. Getting discipleship or mentorship, that's putting food in your house. Reading books that inspire you or teach you something new or stretch you to new levels, that's putting food in your house. And so I just felt before I closed, the Lord wanted me to tell you, as much as I care about this corporate house and what we're gonna do together, the Lord wanted you to see the principles the same for you. You can't just give yourself the leftovers either. You can't give your wait and see if you have any time left to take care of your spiritual development or take care of what's going on in your heart or take care of relationships. It's a matter of deciding to put this portion consistently into your temple as well. Is this making sense? All right, let's stand up because the Lord, I just believe the Lord's in this whole day, and I believe that he's going to finish this thing up with a prayer. Can I get the altar teams to come forward? They're going to be available to pray with you here at the end of the service. You might need healing or freedom. You might need a word from the Lord, or maybe you need to commit your life to Jesus. And so they're here to pray with you if you need to recommit yourself to the Lord as well. Let me bless you and dismiss you. I also want to pray a blessing and a thankful heart for all of the giving you've already done. Every level, whatever level you're in, I want to pray a blessing. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for this house. And I thank you for those that have given year after year so consistently with their tithes and their giving. Lord, they've built this house, the physical expressions of this house. Those chairs came from them. These lights, these sound systems, the food pantries, the missionaries, the Bible schools, it all came from their generosity. It all came from their expression of faith. And I just thank you for the promises that you have, that the windows of heaven are opened over their lives. That God, the devourer is rebuked. Those holes are not in their pockets, God. They receive blessing and they keep blessing. That Lord, it's not being blown away and their harvests are not falling short. Lord, I stand upon that promise for their lives. And I thank you and I ask that you continue to increase them and continue to bless them. Lord, I thank you for this house and where we're going in the next 2 years. We want to do greater things. We do not want to just live the same 2 years over again. We want to grow. We want to reach out. We want to reach further. We want to make impact. And I ask that you would guide and order our steps. We give you thanks and we give you praise for everything you're working on inside of us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you go.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.